righty, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And we're here at the Staples Center watching Los Angeles Kings take on the St. Louis Blues. And there's a big fight on center ice here. There are four guys from St. Louis kicking ass on one of the Kings, which is not fair. You know, second, third, fourth man in. That's unbelievable. Frank Kramer joins us. Frank
back
Kramer's
at the table.
Here, man. Look at
I still
that.
Get a hot dog.
Yeah. All right, there's about a minute and 50 seconds left in the game. And if there's a fight in the last 2 minutes of the last period of the game in a blowout like this, the coach actually gets fined $10,000, I believe. Yeah. So he doesn't.
True?
Yeah, they try to limit all this crap at the end. I think the coach, and the coach for the St. Louis Blues is a guy named Coach Murray, who used to coach the Los Angeles Kings. And now he's coaching the Blues, so some bad blood there as well.
Anyway, I can get another bowl of nuts. I swear.
I'll tell you, I feel, look at this, he's getting, all four guys are beating up on this guy. I feel bad for Frank Kramer. He comes down here, man. He drives all the way down here. He stays after his show. You stayed afterwards, right?
I stayed
in the city.
So didn't go home. I'm like, I can drive all the way home, drive all the way down.
And then, so he comes down here, and he says, can I just get a hot dog? I mean, I'm doing this crap for free for you, Conway.
I was going to go to ESPN
effing hot dog
and eat, but I was like, no, they're going to have food up there. They'll have food.
Bad vibes.
If I eat one more nut, I'm going to crap a payday. There's no more nuts? They're out of nuts now?
Jesus Christ. Eat some of these lottery tickets here. All right, folks, we have an audience who is a lot like myself, just average, everyday guys who, make mistakes. Perhaps you are overextended on your credit cards. Maybe you owe some back taxes. And here to answer a couple quick questions is a good friend of mine who I'm having lunch with tomorrow, Michael Rosbrook. Nice to see you, man.
Hey, Timmy, how you doing?
Yeah. You know Frank Kramer?
Yeah, absolutely, Frank.
Yeah.
We
met.
Yeah, look at that. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah, right?
Happy Kwanzaa.
You enjoying your Hanukkah?
Christmas.
When does that start?
Hanukkah is the 21st.
Is that right? Good for you. What are you expecting this year? Anything?
Well, we're trying to purchase a GM dealership. You know, you can get those pretty cheap these days. And if we can get one, we can probably get about $700 million in the bailout money.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows where it's going, so.
All right. Michael runs Tax Resolution Services. He's a CPA. And I got to ask you a couple quick questions here. Everybody I know is in credit card debt. Everybody I know is running a high balance. If you go to make a deal with a bank, is that better on your credit? On your overall credit score than if you go BK?
It's probably going to be a little better,
right?
But not a lot.
All right, but it is better.
It is better, yeah.
All right, and a bankruptcy stays on your credit for how long?
7 to 10 years.
10 years?
Yep.
You mean 10 years after it's discharged?
Yes, 10 years after
Holy
you get the discharge.
Christ. So it could be on there for 20 years.
Yeah, it depends how long you're in bankruptcy.
So what about a foreclosure?
Almighty.
If you don't file for bankruptcy, they just foreclose on you. How long does that stay?
Yeah, how long is the foreclosure? Is 10 years?
Yeah, it's about 10 years.
Wait, if your house gets foreclosed on 10 years?
Yep.
And they're pretty strict with that kind of crap nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, everything is based on FICO. I mean,
right.
The whole world is based on FICO score.
Yeah, you got to make sure you got a decent
but
FICO score.
Let me tell you something. The other foot hasn't dropped yet. There's $150 billion in credit card debt, unsecured, that the banks are going to be writing off in 2009.
Oh, Jesus.
And you're not
Christ.
Even hearing about that yet.
Right, so it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
I heard that this is basically a drop in the bucket so far.
It's a vicious cycle, you know. Once foreclosures are up on the in the neighborhood, it drives the prices down.
Right.
And then people lose their jobs, they lose the house, it drives the prices down. It's
game over. Look at that. King 6, St. Louis 2. I'm sorry, we interrupt you at the end of the game here.
That's okay.
So it drives the prices down, and you think they're going to go down even further.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen the bottom in the
Jesus
real.
Christ.
What do you expect, predict the bottom to be?
I think that, okay, the first wave of these foreclosures was 3 years ago when people got the teaser rates. Those are the subprime rates. But then about 2 years ago.
Those are the rates that don't put out.
Those are the rates. Yeah, those are the
teaser
rates.
Rates.
Those are the rates that don't put out.
Right.
The ones that put out were called pick-a-pay rate. where you had four boxes on your thing, and the last box was negative amortization. It said it in plain English.
Right.
And a lot of people checked that box and sent in their $1,300 payment.
Right.
And they don't realize they're adding another $1,300 to the principal.
Oh, man.
Those are going to be recast. When I say recast, anytime the prices of a home goes down 25%, it automatically adjusts.
Oh, boy.
So these people, that wave is going to hit in 2009, 2010.
Oh, Jesus.
So you're going to see a whole nother slew of foreclosures.
Now, when somebody has a credit card out there, my wife and I have, we don't have many credit cards together, but we have one or two together. And I had a $30,000 line of credit on one of the credit cards. I never used it. We literally had it for 5 years, never used it.
But she used it.
She never used it either. And they sent us a letter saying that they reduced the credit from $30,000 to $1,500.
Because you're not using it. That's good for you.
How is that great for me? I was going to retire on that.
Oh, okay.
I was going to try and screw them in the end and retire on
that. You're saving that card for retirement. Even if you have a card like that without using it,
right.
You should use it every now and then and just pay the balance the next statement.
And keep it active.
Yeah.
Now, when credit card companies look at your overall credit rating, do they take into consideration, and is it good or bad to pay it off every time at the end of the month?
It's good to pay it off. I mean, it's good if you pay it off at the end of the month. That's the best thing you can do, but you got to keep using the card, paying it off, using the card, paying it off.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, the best thing to do in anybody's circumstance, try to pay it off every month.
Yeah, because that's going to give you the highest rating from that credit card company.
Right. Now, can they just jack your rate up for no reason at all?
They can jack your rate up if you miss a payment, if you're late. If you read the fine print, they can go up to 23%, 24%.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know what I did, and this is the only. I've only had two problems in the last 10 years with a creditor. One was my house, where the day I was about to close on my house that I bought back in 2003, the day before I was about to close, I had the moving van there and everything. We moved out of one house. We're going to move all our crap in the new house. The big financial company that was going to give me the loan.
That's bankrupt now.
Yeah, right. That's bankrupt now. Called me and said, it's going to be two points more. We didn't tell you this, but it's going to be 2% higher than we originally told you, because we didn't realize that you had, you know, a negative, credit rating or so and so. I said, you guys had that for 30 days or, 45 days. And I blew up on him.
I don't blame you.
And he said, and my friend of mine says, that's the best thing to do. Because they will come back and not want to deal with lunatics like myself. And they did. They brought it back down 2 points. But I guess you've had some experience like that, too. The louder the roar, the more you get done, huh?
Yeah, the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and the louder you yell, the more action you get.
What if you never paid for a pair of socks that you bought at Sears in 1992?
Well, if you bought them, it's a good question.
I never did. They talked me into the Sears card,
right.
And then I forgot I even had it. And so I have a pair of black gold toe socks going to work as a waiter at Chi Chi's. I never paid them.
Well, Sears can come back and repossess those socks.
How much can my FICO score go down, or my credit rating go down, just from not buying socks for almost 20 years?
Nothing. Your feet will just smell.
Cool then.
I had another problem with a car company. When I had moved, they didn't forward me my new statement.
Yeah.
All right. So they called me up and they said, you're 30 days late on your car. And I said, I didn't realize that, that I missed a payment. And they said, well, just because we don't send you a statement doesn't mean you can miss a payment. You're 30 days late and it's going on your credit. And I said, I swear to God, if I look at my credit and it's on there, I'm going to drive this car to the nearest showroom where I bought it. And I'm going to drive it through the effing showroom window. And I don't give a rat's ass what my credit does. I'm going to drive this car through the goddamn window. Because I was furious. Because I made 50 straight months worth of payments and never had a problem with them. And I was late once because they didn't send me the statement. And they fixed it.
They cool should allow us one skip. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, they were cool.
Even the IRS allows one skip.
Well, they do?
Nobody wants to fight crazy. I mean, if you're getting into a fist fight and you think the guy's crazy,
right?
No, you run.
Oh yeah.
If he's trying to be tough, no. Right. If it's crazy, you're out.
My dad taught me that because my dad in high school had a couple of guys at a bar like picking on him, And he knew he was going to get his ass kicked by these three guys, so he got up on the bar and he pretended he was a monkey. Yeah. And they took off. They're like, what the hell? This is lunatic. Jesus Christ. But no, the IRS says, again, Michael Rosberg's with us. He has tax resolution services in the Valley. You can miss a cycle with the IRS?
Yeah, if you're on a payment plan, like a 60-month payment plan,
right.
You can miss once. You can skip one payment.
You can.
They allow one payment to
be
skipped.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, and real quickly, what's the guy who owed the most money that you got off for the least money?
The guy that owed the most money was close to $7 million, and we got him off for zero.
Zero. Jesus Christ.
And he's still a client.
I bet he is. I bet he lives with you. I would. Yeah. Be moving in with you and
he
your wife.
He actually came back last year and had a problem with the current year that he wanted us to work on. I said, look, we can do a payment plan on that year. We can't get it down to zero.
Hey, real quick.
You wouldn't believe what I had to do for the last time you were in here. I'm never doing it again.
Tell us that lawyer joke you told me, because I always screw it up.
Well, there's this guy who has retained a lawyer at a decent-sized law firm, and he's trying to get a hold of him. So he calls up, and he says to the secretary, can I speak to Mr. Rosenberg, please? And she said, I'm really sorry. He passed away 2 days ago. And there's a pause on the phone, and the client says again with a straight voice, can I speak with Mr. Rosenberg, please? And she says, he died 2 days ago. Pause on the phone, and again goes, can I speak to Mr. Rosenberg, please? And she goes, sir, maybe you didn't hear me, but the man is dead. And he paused on the phone, and then he says, oh, I just wanted to keep hearing that.
That's a great joke. All right. Michael Ross, we're going to have lunch tomorrow, right?
Lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, in the Valley.
I'm
noon.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Always nice to see you. Happy holidays,
happy
and
holidays,
we'll see you around. 866-IRS-PROBLEMS. Call Michael Rosberg, 866-IRS-PROBLEMS. We're going back with Larry Miller, everybody, from the L.A. Kings. Michael, your major stud. Frank Kramer's with us. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. 6-2 L.A. Kings over the St. Louis Blues here at the Staples Center on 97.1 FM Talk.
Talk.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Frank Kramer here.
Oh,
Frank
yeah.
Kramer joins us,
still
man.
Doing
a double shift, and then you got to be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Yeah, back tomorrow morning, 10 a.m.
Oh, right. Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, man. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. They got the weekend off.
What time do you wake up during the day?
Seriously?
Yeah, I mean, doing the nights every night.
I try not to get out of bed or wake up before 2.
Well, thanks. So you're reading the card over there. I thought you just needed that just in case you forgot. He has no clue who I am. I've been on the show how many times? He's like, yeah, I slept through every single show of yours.
They tell me the show's good, though.
Yes, that's what you
I hear it's hot.
I haven't done it.
But, yeah, this morning I woke up at noon, but that's because I had a dentist appointment at 2. But I try to go to bed at 4, and I try to get up by 1 or 2. That's my schedule.
But you stay up. I mean, this is like...
I'll be up now until 4 a.m.
You're in the opposite schedule. So you get home, and that's when you get off work, and you have happy hour.
Right. But tonight, I got to go to bed early, because I got lunch tomorrow with Michael Rosberg at noon.
Yeah.
That's my early day.
Look at you stroking Mike.
Yeah, Michael and I got
great... We're going to have lunch on it.
Yeah, man. Out in Encino, we're going to have a decent lunch. A little holiday lunch we have every year.
So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, folks, Frank Kramer is with us.
Little mandate.
Yes.
Little bromance.
You betcha, man. The four of us sitting there. Cal Saul, too. All right, let's take a couple calls before Bob Miller. I'm sorry, I think I said Larry Miller before the break. Bob Miller is going to be here. But we can talk to Larry as well, you know? Why isn't he here? All right, let's talk to Jeff on line one. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, what do you got?
Horniest countries in the world,
right? Are you
still
on hold for that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's over. All right, buddy, thanks for calling.
That was like an hour ago.
It was. Here's something I read today in the at AOL.com. You ever go there? The AOL
yeah.
site? It's really pretty cool. But Jennifer Aniston is posing for GQ.
I saw the cover.
Did you see the cover?
Yeah.
I saw the pictures inside.
All I saw was the cover.
Yeah, they're at, I think, PopEater.com. I believe that's where they are. Anyway, I was looking, and I saw the pictures of her. And then I'm looking at her, and she still looks unbelievable.
And how old is she?
She's 58.
39.
No. She's 39, but she looks terrific. I mean, she really does look great. I mean, for, you know, for all the turmoil she's been through. But then I'm looking at the pictures, I'm like, you know what? I don't think you can pose semi-nude anymore. I think you either have to go for it or not go for it. Because there are so many hot women who are 18, 19, 20 years old who are totally nude and or maybe in adult movies. That if you see a celebrity with, you know, just covering up, it's tough.
I know it's going to sound crazy, but I think there's been so much nudity.
Yeah,
that
that's possible.
You got to go back to just wearing a men's tie.
Yes. All right.
The mystery's back.
Speaking of the king, everybody, all Bob right. Miller with the L.A. Kings.
How you doing?
Nice to see you, man. How you been?
I'm happier tonight than I was in Colorado, I'll tell you that.
Good
6-2. What a night.
It's a great night.
With a hat trick.
Yeah, Dustin Brown, first career hat trick. He's been great as a captain, and nice to see him get that tonight. You know, he plays not only, he's not only scoring, as you know, he's a
right.
physical player and
oh, yeah.
third or fourth in the league in hits, and he's a real leader out there on the ice.
Yeah, you got some great guys. I mean, you know, the season started terrible. It's a terrible start to the season. But since, like, 2 weeks in, man, this team is really kicking ass.
Yeah, you know, it's a young team, third youngest team in the league. And I think, as we mentioned tonight, what you get with that is you'll get a game like we had in Colorado and get beat 6-1, and then you'll come back here and have a game like this tonight.
Right.
And I think until the maturity steps in or sets in, you're going to have those nights where you know, sometimes you're high and sometimes you're low. And
right.
But Terry Murray, the coach this year, is a good teacher, and he's taking these young kids. You take a look at that number 8 for us, Drew Doughty. 19. He just turned 19 last week.
Oh, man.
And he's playing like he's about a 10-year veteran.
Wow. And was he number 17?
Number 8.
Number 8.
Yeah.
17. I was just testing you.
Yeah.
No, but number 17 is a young guy, too. He's like 20.
Wayne Simmons, yeah.
Wayne Simmons.
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
Number 9. Oscar Moeller from Sweden. He's a rookie. So
I swear to God, Bob Miller's not looking at this cheat sheet. The man knows everything about this team, man. It's unbelievable.
Is that the third youngest team in the league or one of the three?
Yeah, this is the third youngest. Chicago and Phoenix are younger. But
who are some of the older veterans that they rely on in the locker room right now?
Well, you got guys like Jarrett Stoll, who was new to the team this year, but he's been around the league. He played at Edmonton, but even he's not, you know, what we would call old. I counted at one point in the Kings system 49 players 25 years of age and younger.
Wow,
either
is that right?
In the minors or some of them still playing in junior hockey or college that belong to the Kings.
Right.
And Jesus. What Dean Lombardi, the general manager, wants to do in rebuilding a team is build it so it's going to be good for year after year after year, not
right.
just 1 year. So
right.
he's got these young kids coming up, and you know, a lot of people think all the Kings are maybe a couple years away from being really one of the elite teams in the league. And I hear that not from our organization. I hear it from other people around the National Hockey League who look at these kids that we've got playing, say, in a couple of years, you guys are going to be good. And I hope it happens because I don't know how long I can hang on here waiting for them to win the cup.
Well, you know, you go back to, what, 1967?
No, 73.
73 with the Kings.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last game or the first game I saw with the Kings. I believe it was in the early 70s that my dad took me. I think I was only about 9 or 10 years old. But I remember going back to the old days where they used to have the nets on the pipes. You know, they would have the hole in the ice
anchored,
and put
anchored,
yeah, anchored
there,
down.
Yeah.
And when a guy hit that pole, man, he hit that pole.
Well, you know, that's been one of the big changes because they knew if you hit that, you're injured.
Right.
So they didn't drive to the net the way they do now. Now you see them drive to the net because they know if I hit that thing, it's going to come loose. I'm
right.
not going to get hurt. So that's been a big change. And I think a big change for the goaltender because maybe he's not as protected now as he used to be.
Yeah, that's
true,
right.
Because they don't pull up anymore. They go right for the net.
They come flying. Now, the little altercation there at the end of the third period where there's four St. Louis Blues punching one guy in the face.
That was...
Isn't that third, fourth, and fifth, or second, third, and fourth man in?
I called it a tag team match. The one Blues guy, High Note, went in, grabbed Evenons, and told his buddy, you hit him, and I'll grab him, you hit him. So they all got penalties out of that, but I think the Blues were frustrated. They're a physical team, and they got frustrated at that point. I think at one point in the game, when they made it 4-2, you're in a situation where if the Blues get the next goal,
right,
the Kings are in danger of blowing a four-goal lead.
And in your 35 years, you've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that. In fact, I saw it in our favor here not too long ago against Edmonton.
Right.
Edmonton got three in the first period. The Kings came back with four in the second.
Right.
Didn't win the game, but came back like that. So
that's usually the April spirit breaker, I call it.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know, when they're up 5-1 and get beat 6-5.
I always tell people, you know, don't leave early. You never.
Right.
I mean, this can change so quickly, game.
Yeah.
Because, it just takes a few shots.
Don't leave early, we can still lose this.
Yeah, right. I just don't add that last part that you had there, Frank.
Hey, but you know what's nice about teams coming to L.A. now, where there's two teams, is the Ducks will soften them up and beat them up like they did the St. Louis Blues, beat them up physically and score-wise, and then we get them the next day.
Or sometimes it works the other way around.
Right.
We get them, and then they go down, and they're tired when they get to Anaheim. What I mentioned tonight, as a matter of fact, on the air, because we mentioned the Blues had played last night, it's not like a back-to-back elsewhere in the league. It's only a bus ride. We've taken longer trips to the airport in some cities than from Anaheim to Staples Center. So it's not the same as going to the airport, getting in a plane, flying for an hour, and play the next night. You know, it's a relatively short trip.
Right, yeah, it's not bad. And it's nice to have another team down here, too. You know, there's a little rivalry going on.
Yeah. The bottom line is they did play last night. So you get to the third period, and you're at home, and you have the lead.
Right.
You want to wear them down and know that they're tired. And I look into all sports, especially not so much football because everybody's got a week to rest up, but basketball and baseball and hockey. You look at a team that's been on the road and played a lot of games in a few nights, and you can figure the home team's going to have a pretty good chance to win that game because they're going to be rested.
All right, Bob Miller is with us. He has seen a ton of hockey. And what is it, 35 years you've been with the Kings?
This is 36. Yeah.
36 years, wow. Who is the best fighter you've seen on the Kings? Is it McClellan?
I'm going to go back further than that. My first year, Dan Maloney.
Oh, Dan Maloney.
Dan Maloney was the kind of player, physical. If you hit him with a clean check, everything's fine.
Right.
You get your stick up around his neck or face, and he'd hit you with four shots before you knew you were in a fight. You were down on the ice looking up at him like, what happened? But he was, if it was a clean check, fine. That's part of the game.
Yeah.
But don't get that stick up around my face.
Yeah, I remember the old days where none of these guys had helmets when I went to my first game.
Yeah, and I loved it. I could recognize everybody. Now they're all out there with helmets, and now we're higher up in all of these new arenas. It's a little difficult to see, but... no helmets, and even there were a few goaltenders when I started. The goaltenders didn't wear a mask.
Oh yeah,
still one goaltender didn't wear a mask.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. And then they had that for a while. They had like a plastic shield on their face. It looked like the bottom of a meat tray. You know, you buy in Gelson's with two holes in it and a hole in their mouth. And I don't know what that protected.
Rogie Vachon said that what it was a fiberglass, kind of a fiberglass mask.
Right.
Up against your skin with no padding.
Jesus.
So when you got hit with a shot, it still cut you. But hockey players, a cut, that's not an injury. You go get stitched up and you come back and play.
Yeah, but is that still the way? Because I know back at the Fabulous Forum, even before it was a Great Western Forum, when you'd see hockey players, Goring or one of those old guys get hit, they would stitch them up on the bench. They'd actually put stitches in their eye on the bench and then send them back in the game.
Yeah, I don't know if I saw that too much except in the movie Slapshot, but I think
they would stitch him up in the locker room and then send him back on the ice.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, 5-10 stitches in their head. But does that still happen, or they now take him to the hospital and they're cautious?
They'll stitch him up here. We had a player, Matt Green, number two, tonight. I got hit in Colorado right early in the game. The puck went right through his lip. No anesthetic, sewed him up, and he came back and played the game.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Other players in other sports,
let me lay around
four weeks on the disabled list, you know.
I mean, but even when you were telling that story, everybody at this table winced, like, oh, I'm not going to play anymore. I couldn't, you know, do radio anymore. All right, Bob Miller is with us, a great announcer with the L.A. Kings. And are you still with the – was Jimmy Fox with you tonight?
Oh, yeah. 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 I don't know where he is. Probably into the wine.
All right. Already. All right, can you stay with us?
Sure.
All right, you'd like to say hello to Bob Miller, again, the greatest announcer in the history of sports. And I include, you know, all the baseball and basketball announcers, and there are, because this is the most difficult sport to call. Anybody, you know, not anybody, but it's easier to call a baseball game. You can see the guy coming from the locker room into the dugout, from the dugout to the plate, and you know he's going to, you know, you can see the pitch coming in. You can't see half the stuff here.
I make it up, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking at your glasses. I'm like, how can you even see the whole ice?
See that?
Bob Miller is with us.
He's got tri-quadruple focals going on in there.
Yeah, that's, Jimmy Fox can still identify these guys as well, right?
Oh, yeah. You know what the player, the ex-players can do? The ex-players can see things that I'll never see down there because they've been in that situation. Jimmy can say, I went off his skate, I went off this, and all I know, I saw it go in the net, and I know who shot it, and that's about it. But, yeah, they can pick up things, and I think it is because they were in those situations, and they can see. One, I maybe have to take a break, but one goal tonight, Dustin Brown, he deflected it with the stick between his legs. The shot came from the blue line.
Wow.
And he just turned and put the stick between his legs and deflected in the net.
Jeez.
Now, most of us have never tried that, and it's very difficult.
I've tried it. It's just never been in a hockey situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, try it on the ice next time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that is remarkable how they see it. You know, where they can deflect the puck that's going 100 miles an hour.
It's going 100 miles an hour. Yeah. And you've got that hand-eye coordination to deflect it. And
not only deflect it, but turn it a direction, and not only another direction, but in towards the net where the goalie's not sitting.
Yeah, yeah. Frolov did that tonight. Turned his stick the right way. And now a lot of it, you know, they're not sure it's going to go in the net, but they can deflect it on the net. And he turned his stick just to the right angle and scored the goal.
You know what's great to see? And again, Bob Miller's with us. We're at the Staples Center where the Kings beat the St. Louis Blues tonight 6-2. But it's great to see people walk around with, like, different jerseys on. And you can remember the era of some of them. Like, yeah, I saw a Bernie Nichols jersey tonight. Butch Goring, I saw tonight. The Triple Crown line. Wayne Gretzky. And you sort of live like it's like a 5-year period for each one of these guys.
Right. You know what was great? We opened the season last year in London, England. And had two sellouts at the O2 Arena there on the Thames. Took boats to the game.
Tom Lykus was there.
Yeah. Yeah. And we saw in that crowd both nights in London so many jerseys. Not only NHL, but European jerseys from European teams. And it was just great to see everybody coming to the game with a jersey on.
You think they'll expand into Mexico or into Europe?
You know, our owner, Mr. Anschutz, has about 5 teams over in Europe, and I wouldn't doubt that someday all sports will be global. I really think that. I'm just worried that the way the NHL schedules games, we'd play here tonight and in Berlin tomorrow night. You know, that's the only thing you have to be careful of.
Right, exactly. You know, I can't believe what's going on across the street here. You know, it's, what is it, 10:40. It's almost, you know, it's 20 to 11. And these guys are still working over here across the street.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's what, you know, private enterprise is. These guys, you know, they say, get that hotel done. They're going to get it done. But I can't believe how big that building is.
Oh, I know.
I've been down here in a couple of months, and it's unbelievable.
$2.5 billion.
Is that right?
Yeah. Jeez. And it's our owner again that, you know, did it, Phil Anschutz. And, yeah, it is, it's beautiful over there, and they're going to have 12 restaurants open and 14 movie theaters, and the hotel is 55 stories high, or 54. But
these guys see the future. When I saw a parking lot there, you know, 5-6 years ago, we used to park, I go, it's just a parking lot.
Yeah.
What more can you do with it?
Yeah.
You know, and then 5 years later, there's a 54-story building on it. It's beautiful.
Especially in this economy. You talk about having nerve
perfect
to
timing.
Go in.
Yeah. All right, Bob Miller's with us. If you'd like to say hello, perhaps talk about a favorite game or a favorite play that he's called in the past, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Also, Gina Grad and Frank Kramer join us. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at the Staples Center where the Kings beat the Blues 6-2 here. And we're on 97.1 FM Talk.
97.1 FM.
All right, fellas. Let's go!
back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Frank Kramer joins us from Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Also, Gina Grad. And the world's greatest sports announcer. And I'm not just saying that. I actually do believe that Bob Miller is with us. Nice to see you, Bob.
Thank you. Nice to be with you guys. And I just want to say I have 97.1 on all the time.
Is
listen
that right?
to you at night.
Hey.
Listen to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank in the afternoon. Tom Likas, a great Kings fan.
Look at that, yeah.
So, yeah, enjoy.
So you heard about the break-in to Heidi's place.
Yes, I did. I was driving. In fact, we were going to Colorado, and I'm driving to the airport. And didn't get the whole rest of the story.
Oh, you did. The best part.
Oh, man.
So I had to get out of the car, get on the plane, and so as Paul Harvey would say, I don't know the rest of the story.
Well, you want to tell him on the air or off the air?
Oh, well, the rest of the story. Did you hear? What part did you hear, too?
The closet.
Oh, that's
you hear what happened in the closet?
That's the rest of the story.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You got it. You got the best part, the rest.
You're in the closet.
Yeah.
Hey, now, when you're interviewing some of these guys who are the, you know, the players on both teams, but especially on the Kings, do they all speak English?
Yeah, most of them do. Some of them better than others. You know, Hansus speaks, but kind of a broken English, and
right.
even ons, and but they understand English, and they're getting better with interviews. And
how about Kopitar? Is he speaking English?
Kopitar is outstanding. His English is as good as any of ours, and he grew up in Slovenia. We kid him; he's the greatest NHL player ever out of Slovenia because he's the only one out of Slovenia.
He's the only guy ever to make it to the NHL
out of Slovenia.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's really a good kid. And the story is, last year we played a couple of games before London in Salzburg. So his grandmother and grandfather and came from Slovenia. It's not that far a drive. And his grandmother was a school teacher, taught him English. And I said to her, well, you did an excellent job because he really speaks well. And she said when he was a little boy, he'd pretend he was number one star of the game, and I would his grandmother would interview him. And he'd say to her, do it in English, because someday I may need that, and here we're
wow.
interviewing him all the time. And so he's a great guy, young kid. And
that's correct. How old is he?
He's 20, what is he now, 21? 21,
single guy?
22. Yeah.
Wow, look
yeah.
at that. How about that? Being Slovenia, being from Slovenia, earning probably $3 million a year?
Just signed a new contract for $47.5 million.
Jesus Christ.
For
how
several
many years?
For, I think it's 6 years.
Wow.
He's a single gentleman, is he?
Gina, sit down, please.
Come back, Gina.
$47 million.
I'm not even here anymore.
Wow.
She's out the door.
Good for him, man. Can you imagine the tail that guy's getting? I mean, just going into these different cities,
yes, I can,
$47 million.
He's got to be the richest guy in Slovenia.
Geez, has to be. What is the curfew with these Kings when they're on the road? Is there one?
Not anymore. There used to be. A lot of coaches don't like to put a curfew on because the guy you're going to catch is your star player. So
right.
Then what are you going to do?
Right.
They used to have a curfew back in the 70s and
yeah, I remember
things
that.
Like that.
Like
but,
10 o'clock, you had to be in your room.
Yeah.
And
now,
they checked, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, did you ever hear that story about Vince Lombardi with Paul Hornung and Max McGee in Green Bay?
No.
They go to training camp, and the fine is $1,000 if you miss curfew. So the first night, McGee and Hornung are gone. They're gone all night. Lombardi catches them, $1,000. The next night, they're gone again, and he catches them again, $2,000. The third night, he says, if you go tonight, take me with you. I want to see what's worth $3,000.
Yeah, back then that was a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, these guys, you know, Kopitar will write you a check for $3,000
yeah, right.
if you just need a, you know, pocket change.
I think I heard somebody in the NBA wrote a check to the coach for $200,000 the first day of training camp, said, leave me alone now the rest of the year.
You know, I was watching when Gretzky was playing on the Kings. It was late in the third period, and the Kings were being beat. I guess they were down by 3 or 4 goals. And Gretzky was on the ice, and I had very close seats that night. I was right up on the glass. And I was right next to the hole in the glass where the old photographers used to put their lens,
right.
you know, through the glass. And I could hear Gretzky yelling at the referee, and he was using some real foul language. And he never got thrown out of the game. I thought that was odd. Some guys get away with it, huh?
Yeah, there is a rule in the rule book prohibiting any profanity from the time you enter the building till the time you leave. I don't think it's ever been enforced, as far as I know. I think the referees, you know, they know, they'll take a little bit of that. But
Can you get a penalty for swearing?
Well, you get a misconduct or something like that. You could, if the referee wants to.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah. And I see that now there's, I guess the last couple of years, there's been four referees now. Has that made it better?
Two refs and two linesmen.
Or two, yeah, but four total.
Yeah. I think it has made it better. There was a play tonight behind the play, behind where the puck was. Keith Tkachuk, in fact, it was right down here in the corner, kind of whacked one of the Kings over the back of the head and got a penalty, and he kind of argued it. We showed it on the replay on TV.
Right.
I don't know what he's arguing about. His stick came up and whacked the guy right in the back. The back referee can now get that. In the old days when you had only one referee, he's following the puck up the ice,
right.
And a lot of stuff went on behind the play because they knew the referee can't see this. He can't be up with the play. And it's been better for the referees. They don't have to skate as much. And the thing we forget, the referee doesn't get a break. He doesn't go over and sit down on the bench.
Oh, yeah.
The referee and linesmen are out there all night long.
Yeah.
And so they've got to be in great shape. And it's a dangerous sport to referee. Yeah.
Is the greatest, Bob Miller is with us, is the greatest game you ever called still the Miracle of Manchester?
Yeah, that as far as comebacks, yeah, that would be it in 1982. What I remember in 93, the semifinal series with Toronto before we went to the Stanley Cup
in Toronto.
Finals.
Game 7?
Game 7 in Toronto. That whole series was a classic,
beautiful.
And that Game 7 was just unbelievable.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that they went back to Toronto and beat them.
Yeah, and they knew Montreal was in, so Toronto wanted to play Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
And Wayne Gretzky got in the elevator, and the story goes that the elevator operator said, well, it's going to be wild in here tonight at 10:30.
Yeah.
Wayne said, why is that? He said, well, the game will be over at 10:30. Wayne said, my job starts at 7:30. Don't worry about it. I wanted to say, I called your show one time several years ago. You were talking about, I don't know if you remember, talking about the Stanley Cup. Something about the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
And I called, and the screener, you know, I told him who I was, and I said, I really just want to tell him something about the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, right, it's Bob Miller. Yeah. Click.
He said, well, how do I know that's who you are? And I didn't know how to tell him. I said, well, I don't know what to say, except that's who I am.
Right.
He did put me on the air, and I talked to you guys, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, Bob Miller has been with the Kings since 1973 and has called almost every home game, every away game. Now, you just do television right now?
Yes, since 1990. First 17 years we did simulcast radio and TV.
Right. I do miss some of the things about the old Kings announcing, especially the post-game show, where you guys played all of the goals at the end, and then they played that song, that da 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 da. I really missed that song. I mean, that was like, you know, I grew up listening.
Was
to that
the like dun da dun da dun da da? Was it that song or?
It went ba ba da 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 da.
Oh, that, you know what? That was
da 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 da.
Oh, that was the Kings' march, written by Jack Kent Cook. We had to play it.
I love that song.
He got a penny for royalty every time we played it. We had to play it at the post game show.
Wait, he wrote that? I didn't know he wrote that.
He wrote that, and he bragged that he got Shelly Mann, the drummer, for scale to play it.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob Miller, everybody. Get on down to the Staples Center, man, and watch these Los Angeles Kings. They're really kicking ass this year. And they beat the St. Louis Blues 6-2, which, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, that was a very tough team, these St. Louis Blues.
Yeah. And they're, now, they're still not bad. And we got Minnesota here Saturday, 1 o'clock, early game. Bring
that's
the family.
Great.
And have a great time. And it's great to be with you guys, really.
Is that going
to
be a televised game, nationally televised?
Well, it'll be locally televised,
Locally televised. All right. So Minnesota, 1 o'clock Saturday.
Right.
A great opportunity to bring the kids and let the wife go out Christmas shopping or Hanukkah shopping or Kwanzaa shopping. I don't know what you do. All right, here to thank everybody is our own Gina Grad. Who do you have to thank tonight?
Well, Bill? First and foremost, we'd like to thank Frank Kramer. He's coming down.
Good.
He's a lot to us. We love him dearly.
Frank Kramer here.
Yes, sir. Bob Miller. Bob Moore, Michael Rosbrook, Steve Paillette, Randy Wang, Andy Liu from the King staff. Thank you very much. Mike McNee.
Yeah, thank you, Andy.
Yes, Andy and Mike, thank you so much. Randy Dolan, Ariz, Adam, Manny, Albert, Detective Rudy, Lieutenant Andy. Thank you, gentlemen, for always coming down with us. Everyone here at the Staples Center, thank you very much. And, of course, Mr. Bob Miller.
Yeah, Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
All right, gang. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show tomorrow, right after Likas. Stay tuned for John and Jeff now on 97.1 FM Talk. now she's not just annoying people on the air. She's annoying people at Staples Center. Oh, Christ almighty.
That voice.
How annoying is she with that voice? That high voice.
You know she's going to hear this eventually.
Oh, who cares?
Did they ask her to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, to talk the whole time?
I don't
or
know.
Just say go.
She's the biggest celebrity the Kings could get.
Why don't they take that mic out of her hand?
Yeah, get it away from her.
Look at that.
I can't understand what she's saying.
It's a tricycle race between three lunatics wearing helmets on tricycles. Here we go. Oh, Bubba.
Adam Carolla, Frosty Eddie and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Get complete shows now at 97.1 FMTalk.com.